Imagine it's 2050. You're scanning through your radio channels or your streaming services or your mental music brain implant. I don't know. And you land in the oldies channel playing turn of the century hits, music from the 90s, zeros, and tens. What song are they playing? Is it some Taylor Swift, Radiohead, Drake? Joining us now to talk about the oldies of the future is Chris Malamphy. He's a chart analyst and pop critic who writes about the intersection of culture and commerce and popular music. Over at Slate.com, he hosts the Hit Parade podcast and writes their Why Is This Song Number One series. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure thing, Rob. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm just fine.
It seems like it would be really hard to predict the songs of the future. I wonder if first we can learn lessons from the past. Do you see, when you look back at the 60s or 70s or 80s, things that make a song have that staying power that ends up on the oldies station?
You know, it's really hard to tell because it's the charts, which is what I cover on Hit Parade, my podcast, as well as my writing, give you some guide, obviously. If something spends weeks and weeks at number one, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to endure. But we've seen, you know, some very long-lasting hits that were not big hits on the chart the first time around. I think of a song from the early 80s like I Melt With You by Modern English, which never even cracked the U.S. Top 40 and now is played on the radio every day. Or a song like Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, which was a sizable hit. It was a top 10 hit, but it peaked at number 9. It wasn't even the biggest hit from that album, that Journey album in 1981. And now I think we can all agree that is the one that's going in the vault for Journey. So the charts give you some clue, but there's kind of an X factor. And you know, radio programmers will talk about how, you know, with their call out research, there's a burn factor on certain songs. And then there are certain songs that just don't burn out. You think of a song like September by Earth, Wind & Fire, which gets played at, you know, every radio station, every wedding, a top 10 hit, not a number one hit. They had bigger hits, but you know, it's a record that seems to have no burn on it. You can play it anytime and people just love it. People enjoy it. And these are the records that radio programmers turn back to over and over again, because they've just got that kind of joyous X factor to them.
And also, and you've talked about this in the past, the idea of, okay, are there songs that represent an era, whether we call it a decade or whatever? And you've talked about, you know, well, the 60s, is the era represented by the British invasion or hippie music or Motown? Or you could throw the Wall of Sound stuff, Phil Spector, in there. It's really hard when you start trying to, you crack the surface to see, okay, what is the essence of a decade?
Exactly. I had to analyze this for a recent episode of my podcast, Hit Parade. I was talking about the tens. It is now New Year's. We're now finally out of the tens. And I was trying to analyze, well, what was this decade? And one point I made in my podcast is that decades, folks try to boil them down to one sound, but no decade is really one sound. I like to say that most decades are at least dominated by two sounds. So, for example, the one I always reach for is the 70s. Folks most commonly call that the disco decade, but it wasn't really all disco. The first half of the 70s was really soft rock and singer-songwriters. The second half of the decade was mostly disco. Or you look at the 80s, the first half was sort of MTV-ish new wave. The second half was what I call big hair music, hair metal and, you know, diva pop of the Taylor Dane Cher variety. Then, you know, you look at the 90s, the first half is what I call grunge and gangsta. The second half is what I call teen pop and bling. So most decades kind of have at least two sounds. The 10s fell into this pattern. The 10s were, in the first half, what I would call soaring EDM pop, electronic dance music. Think of Katy Perry. Think of Rihanna when she was in that We Found Love mode, that kind of thing. And then in the second half of the decade, it was really what they call trap music, which is kind of this downbeat hip hop. Think of Drake, think of, you know, the rapper Future, think of The Weeknd, the R&B singer. That's what dominated the second half of the decade. So yeah, it's a very careful thing to kind of calibrate what defines a decade. And there's no one thing that defines a whole decade.
And before we get more into individual pieces of music, let's complicate things a little further. It seems like over time, and I'm not the first person to make this observation, that, you know, we have more and more subgenres and we can specialize and we could be really into heavy metal and have no clue what's going on in pop, or vice versa. Does that make it even still harder to figure out what is going to be the enduring song, given that we're all kind of in our own musical world?
I would say that's definitely true to an extent. Although one thing that was interesting about the 2010s was that because of social media, because of the advent of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, by the end of the decade, TikTok, we were sharing songs more than ever. So when we were all obsessed, say, with Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen in the summer of 2012, everybody was obsessed with Call Me Maybe. Or when, you know, Gangnam Style by Psy later that year was sort of, you know, the YouTube obsession. Everybody was talking about Gangnam Style. There was even a Drake hit late in the decade called In My Feelings, where a lot of people were doing the so-called In My Feelings challenge, where they were posting videos of themselves dancing to this Drake song. And that propelled the song to number one. So on the one hand, yes, the last 25 years of pop, you could call it the trend of narrowcasting. We're all in our own earbuds. We're all listening to our little niche. On the other hand, when something reaches a certain cultural flashpoint, and it's being shared and shared and shared on all these media, it can have a real snowball effect. And one thing that was one piece of feedback I got about the 2010s episode that was interesting was that folks, even my age, I'm in my 40s, were saying, you know, I didn't think I knew that much music of the 2010s, but I knew a lot of these songs. These were more familiar to me than I thought.
Talking to Chris Malanfi, he is a chart analyst and pop critic. We're looking at what music of the last 10 years-ish we'll be in the oldies stage in the future. We'll have that kind of staying power one way or another. Well, we've got some music to get some tastes of. One artist you mentioned, Katy Perry, pretty dominant on the charts for a while. Here's a little bit of Teenage Dream from the beginning of the last decade. Now, I was pretty on top of the music of Katy Perry because I had kids of the right age, Chris. But do you see Katy Perry having a track or two that's going to really last into the future people are going to come back to?
I would say it's probably going to be a track or two. Teenage Dream, the track you just played, is the one that's most critically acclaimed and generally regarded as her best hit. However, a song that you didn't play that could just as well endure as her follow-up hit, the one that came right after that called Firework. That one has endured as a graduation anthem. I've seen elementary school kids sing Firework. You know, so it's entirely possible that Firework will be, you know, that song that when it's all boiled away and, you know, folks are remembering Katy Perry 30 years from now, it might just be that hit. Only time will tell, but it's probably going to be one of those.
Now, you picked this song as a potential oldies hit back in 2012. I can't remember exactly when it came out, but Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. Here it is.
Oh, yeah. And that ain't what you want to hear, but that's what I'll do.
And the feeling coming from my bones. Now, this one, a little older here, but this one, just based solely on its use at soccer stadiums and other sporting events, this is going to stick around for a long time, I think, Chris.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, in 2004, when that song, 2003, rather, when it came out, it was a number one hit on the rock charts. It was not a big hit on the Hot 100, the pop chart. The charts were formulated quite differently back then. But I think we've now had about 15 years to observe just how enduring Seven Nation Army has been. If you walk into any stadium, not just a soccer stadium, I've seen it played at baseball games as, you know, batters step up to the plate. There's something about that irresistible bass line, which is actually Jack White playing very low on his guitar because he was, a multifarious, multi-instrumentalist. that thing is a brain fungus. It's not going anywhere. So I could totally see that getting played decades hence.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Charlie with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question was, does your guest think that rap will end up being on the oldies station 20, 30 years from now? It's quite different from other forms of music. It doesn't really have, I would say music that is, you know, defined by instruments as much as a beat, and then also that the words and lyrics can actually be quite offensive. Do you think rap will last?
Charlie, thanks for the call. Now, in the 80s, the music seemed more segregated. The rap ended up on pop charts, and on pop stations, I should say. I don't know what was going on the chart. It seems like it's not as distinct as it used to be. Do I have that right, Chris?
Well, I, you know, hip hop has been part of the cultural firmament now for, gosh, going on 40 years. I mean, the first rap top 40 hit came out in 1979 and peaked on the charts in 1980. That would be Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. That's certainly an enduring song. I still see it in movies. I still hear it at parties. When you think of 80s hits like Walk This Way or Bust a Move by Young MC, these records are now more than 30 years old and they are enduring. So with hip hop, we don't just have to look at the rap records of the last 10, 20 years. We have to look at the records that are 30 or 40 years old. And there are absolutely rap songs that have endured. If you want to get a little closer to the present day, look at the 2002 hit Lose Yourself by Eminem, which actually won the Oscar that year for best song in a bit of an upset. And Lose Yourself has become the psych up anthem for, you know, millennials. You know, it is to the millennial generation what Gonna Fly Now from Rocky was to an earlier generation. So I think it's absolutely clear that, you know, hip hop, now that it has been the center of gravity for pop for really the last at least two, three decades, that we are going to see rap songs endure and, you know, persist. They're also full of hooks, rap songs. I mean, sometimes it's a turn of phrase. Sometimes it's the underlying melodic hook, whether it's a sample or whether it's, you know, something original. But, you know, there are definitely hip hop songs that, you know, can get a party started, you know, 80s, 90s rap hits. So I have every expectation that rap songs of the 21st century will be played on oldies radio decades hence.
Well, let's check out one from last year, Cardi B and I like it.
I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong. I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali, Virgo, Ferrari, hop up the stoop.
All right, Chris, a hypothesis I'll throw at you. People who partied to that song last year, 20 years from now, they'll love to pull it out and party to it again. What do you think?
I think so. I wholeheartedly agree. For starters, I just got married last summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we played Cardi B's I Like It at our wedding reception, and people danced their faces off to it. So I've tested it in the field, and I have observed that it works. Moreover, Cardi B, in a way, and I say this admiringly, kind of used a cheat code on that record, because it's based on a Boogaloo hit dating that dates all the way back to the 60s called I Like It Like That by Paul, I believe it's Paul Rodriguez, and that song is enduring. It's made many repeat appearances on the charts over the years, but the fact that she added this other layer to it, the hip hop. We didn't hear the guests on that, the rappers J Balvin and Bad Bunny. But, you know, when you put it all together, it's just kind of a pileup of hooks. So, yeah, I think if there's any hip hop song of the late 10s that's going to endure, I think I Like It as a strong candidate.
Talking to Chris Melanfi, he's a chart analyst and pop critic, an experimental pop critic, as we just heard. He hosts the Hit Parade podcast and writes the Why Is This Song Number One series for Slate Magazine. We're talking about what songs of the last decade ish plus or minus will be on the oldies stations 30, 20 years from now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a song from the last 10 years or an artist from the last 10 years that you think, yeah, they're going to be listened to 20, 30 years from now? Or looking back in the other direction, what stuck with you from your teen years, whatever decade those years might have been? Did the good stuff stick around, or the stuff you didn't like in the first place? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.
And I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Chris Melanfi, chart analyst and pop critic. He hosts the Hit Parade podcast. We're talking about the music of recent decades, or mainly the last decade, that might still be playing on maybe the oldies stations, whatever form they take in the future. You used to call me on your cell phone. You can do it now at 800-642-1234. What songs of today will be listened to in 10, 20, 30 years? What do you hope sticks around? And what stuck around from your own teen years, whenever they were? What song do you look back at with nostalgia? Maybe play it at your own wedding. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We heard one there, Chris, from this last decade, Drake, Hotline Bling. Now, you mentioned songs that maybe burn out quickly. This song was all over the place, and then it seems like it went away. Is this one that will come back in the future, do you think?
I think it's going to be fairly enduring. It's one of his most melodic hits. Drake is an interesting figure for hip hop in the last decade because he basically permanently blurred the line between singing and rapping. In fact, when that song was nominated for, I believe, best rap recording at that year's Grammys, he actually protested a bit and said, it's not a rap song. And he's right. He sings through the whole thing. But, you know, that line has been kind of permanently blurred by Drake. And Hotline Bling just has some of his stickiest hooks. I definitely still hear it. I heard it at my wedding last summer. I hear it out on the streets of New York City where I live. It's just got some of his stickiest, most persistent hooks. It's quite relatable lyrically as well.
And Chris, do you have your wedding playlist available for us to check out? It sounds like a lot of fun.
I probably should. I think we've got it on Spotify. So, if you want me to share it, I can.
Let's get a taste of another one now. Now, Bruno Mars seems like he might be a candidate to have a song stick around. Here's a big one. Now, you mentioned that cheat code earlier. Yes, this was a new song, but people compared it a lot to Morris Day and the Time and Chic and a lot of other bands. I mean, it had kind of a timeless feel even when it came out.
It absolutely did. It was an enormous number one hit. It spent 14 weeks at number one in early 2015. It was kind of the pivot record of the decade. Came smack dab in the middle of the decade as the sound of 2010's pop was pivoting from that soaring EDM I was talking about before when we were talking about Katy Perry toward the more preening, cocky hip-hop of the late 10s. And it's kind of this record that blends both halves. But then you're right, it's basically a throwback. It's a throwback to the sound of the early 80s. What's most interesting about that is that in the early 80s, it was a time just in that post-disco period, 80, 81, where a lot of top 40 radio was shying away from anything that sounded too R&B, too black. They were moving away from artists like Rick James, like the Gap Band. So those records were big on R&B radio back then. They weren't big on pop radio. And now here comes Mark Ronson, the lead artist and producer of that record with Bruno Mars, kind of amalgamating that sound to one smash record. And in 2015, it's bigger than ever. So, you know, it's as if they kind of condensed an entire sound down to its essence. And, you know, I'm sure Uptown Funk is going to be getting played on radio stations and at weddings and events for decades to come.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Dane is with us in Platteville. Dane, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Dane?
As soon as you started talking about, like, lasting artists and songs, I immediately thought of Kendrick Lamar. Again, with the 2015 release of To Pimp a Butterfly and his reoccurring political and topical lyrics, I think that All Right, especially that song and a lot of other Black Lives Matter anthems that he wrote, I think they have a lot of lasting power.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. We didn't get a clip of Kendrick Lamar, but Chris, that's probably an oversight on our part. This is an artist who's probably going to stick around with us.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick is widely cited as, you know, the greatest rapper of his generation, and with good reason. He's put out three or more, really, dating back to his indie days, classic albums, all of them, you know, nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys. Frankly, he should have won at least one of them. He won a Pulitzer, the first artist to do that for, you know, any sort of contemporary pop album, let alone a rap album. And, you know, All Right is a funny one. I think it's kind of the fight the power of its generation, you know, citing that Public Enemy song from 1989, which was not a big pop radio top 40 hit in its day, but is still played at protest rallies decades later. I would say All Right, which was similarly kind of more of a rap radio hit, not a big pop top 40 hit, but, you know, it's been cited as the greatest single or one of the greatest singles of this decade. It's made a lot of, you know, best of the tens lists. And, you know, because it's been connected with the Black Lives Matter movement, I absolutely think it's going to continue to be played decades hence. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent candidate.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Chris Melanfi, talking about what songs of this last decade will be the oldies songs, the throwback songs that people keep coming back to in the future. Let's check out one that seemed like it was everywhere when we were coming up with this show, actually, Central Time, Gaudier. Let's give a listen. Now, this one, Chris, at an important time in my life, I could not escape this song, and I assume this would be one that would stick around, but I don't know. Has that one fizzled?
I hear it from time to time. It's a funny record because it shows that you can have a hit sometimes with something that doesn't follow any of the trends at all. It was the number one song of 2012. It spent, I believe, 2 months, about 8 weeks at number one back then. Was a blockbuster hit. It's had more than a billion in YouTube views. It's got a very arresting video, and it doesn't really fall in with any of the trends. Gautier is basically a one-hit wonder in America. He was unable to follow it up. But it's a beautiful record. It's a strange record, down to the xylophone hook. Not too many records in the 2010s that sounded like that. That's one of those records that could either endure for decades or absolutely disappear. It was already a fluke that it was as big a hit as it was in the first place, but it was just kind of irresistible at the time.
Well, that's all the time that we have, Chris. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a lot of fun today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Chris Melanfi is a chart analyst and pop critic who writes about the intersection of culture and commerce and popular music over at Slate.com. You can find his Hit Parade podcast. He also writes their Why Is This Song Number One series. He joins us to talk about the oldies of the future, the songs today that we can hear in the future. You can find a link to his podcast episode about this decade's hit songs over at our website, WPR.org. And on the Ideas Network Facebook page, you can share your nominations and maybe the pain of having the songs of your teenage years show up on the oldies station. It's always fun.